Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Yeah, I pitched an idea to you about a restaurant that I thought might be a good idea for Geelong.
Yeah, look, you always have lots of ideas. Do you ever follow through with them? Not really.
I like to use money as an excuse. Do I have money to invest? No, but I have plenty of ideas to give. I pitched this idea to you about a particular type of restaurant, and I said that I had a bit of a surprise of someone who had organised that actually works in the business here in Geelong to chat to see if this idea could get up and running.
Yep.
But before we actually talk about the idea, what I want to do is I want to introduce Benjamin Cooper, the executive chef of Chin Chin.
Oh, my God.
The new Chin Chin in Geelong that everybody's talking about. The wait list to get in there is incredible. It's in the Joel Selwood stand.
Yeah, you managed to get a reservation, though, too.
Yeah, GMHBA Stadium. Benjamin, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Good afternoon. A pleasure to be here.
Now, Chin Chin is the thing that everyone's talking about in town at the moment. Mm. When reservations opened a couple of weeks ago, my wife was sitting there, like I imagine a lot of people, and the reservation she ended up getting, the first one available, was 7 weeks away.
Yeah.
So that's how many people want to come and taste your food. How's it? Obviously, it's going well in Geelong.
Look, it's been amazing. We, you know, from the very first moment of this coming to life and the opportunity arising to actually getting the doors open, everyone has just been incredibly supportive. Geelong's a brilliant, brilliant place, and they've really made us feel like home, which is lovely.
It's a bit of a food hub, Geelong, I would say. You know, it's nice to have something like Chin Chin that, you know, typically you'd have to drive down the highway and go to Melbourne for. To have it in our own backyard now, it's so exciting.
Yeah, and it's exciting for us, you know. Like, 13 years into a restaurant, to be given the opportunity to do something that challenges the boundaries of who we are and how we do things and what we do is really exciting. So for us as well, it's super important to grasp this opportunity and really embrace it.
We know Chris Lucas, who is the head honcho, born and raised in Geelong, and this is kind of his, I guess, tribute, and he's a big Cats fan as well, so that's why it's kind of worked out the way it is. But being the executive chef at Chin Chin, we know that you, obviously, and from what I've read about you, Ben, you've been all around the world doing incredible things, and Chin Chin is like, it's a great fusion restaurant. Good luck getting a reservation anytime soon. But Ben, what I wanted to pitch to you is an idea for setting up a restaurant. Have you ever been involved in those conversations before?
Yep, lots of times.
Okay, so the idea simply, it's a restaurant called Leftovers, and the way it works is that the food, because food tastes better the next day when you make it at home.
Oh, how's that for a pitch, Ben?
And so all the meals are cooked 24 hours beforehand, but it's a sit-in restaurant. You come in, there's still a menu, like I imagine there is at Chin Chin. You go, oh, I feel like, you know, the tuna tartare, or maybe like the spaghetti bolognese. It's been cooked 24 hours prior. There is settings. There's a microwave at each table. and on the menu, it's recommended reheating time. And that's kind of the experience. It's called Leftovers. Do you think this is something that could actually happen?
It's a good question.
Long pause.
Wow, that was the most polite way he could have answered that.
I know.
Look, do you know what the most important thing in any venture is? Is that creativity is given space to thrive, and that there are people on the other end of that creative scale that are there to challenge it. So essentially, any suggestion can come to fruition, but it's important that you allow it to be challenged, and it's important that you also allow the creativity to flourish. So for sure, I reckon there's elements of what you're suggesting could definitely work.
Benjamin, can you throw some of those challenges out? What about Tim's idea?
What are the pitfalls?
Do you think would be a hard sell?
The microwave thing at the table, I think, could be very challenging.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how aesthetically. Yeah,
aesthetically
they'd be good.
And you know, like everyone enjoys Korean hot pot, or you know, the shabu shabu, or those style eating, because there's theatrics to it, and there's beauty to it, and it's fun. I feel somewhat that a microwave takes some of those enjoyable factors away.
They would be very nice musical microwaves. Probably jet black. They would like really work in with the setting of the restaurant. But I do hear like what you're saying. High wattage as well. But so besides the fact of the microwaves, do you think that like is it so it's sounding like a soft no at the moment, and like working at Chin Chin, I assume you're
he
probably
knows what he's talking
you're the
about.
Advice we need to be listening to, Benjamin.
Look, we definitely go to the nth degree when we put concepts on the table and when we decide how we're going to do something. You know, no more so than when we, you know, when the opportunity arose to open the restaurant in the stadium, that was for some hospitality operators, that could be a very hard no. But Chris, I mean, apart from the fact that A, he's from Geelong, and B, he is probably the biggest Geelong cat supporter there is, it was definitely not a no. And that's, you know, you've got to get the foot in the door first, right? Oh, you've got to know your market. You've got to know who you're dealing with. You've got to know what the opportunity is. Are people as excited about eating leftovers, especially things that they've put love into, the next day if they have to cook it themselves again?
Okay. Yeah. Well, so you're saying
if we start seeing microwaves at Chin Chin,
we know you've stolen the idea, Benjamin.
No.
I know a lot of people are heading out there. We might be your direct competition in the job cell would stand if leftovers gets up and running. Benjamin Cooper, the executive chef for Chin Chin, thank you so much for your advice and keep on cooking.
Thank you and have a wonderful day and good luck. Hopefully it works.
This is Tim and Jess. And Will from the newsroom back in the studio. This week, Jess has been putting us through our paces. It's a news off, sorry. It's a news off.
Hit it.
It's a news off, a news off. It's news off. Yeah. I didn't want to do it.
Can I do it tomorrow?
Yeah, you can.
Last day?
Tomorrow is, I guess results. It's exam results. Yeah. Every day, Will, this week, you've been putting us through our paces. Who would be better at radio journalism?
And
is it going to be Jess, who has an actual journalism degree, or Tim?
Well, you actually don't have it right now. Where is it?
Well, it's sitting on Will's
still
desk.
Still on my desk. I think it's going to be back in her hands pretty soon. Because based on yesterday's sport report, I don't think it's too dramatic to say that yours was a train wreck.
I fumbled the ball heavily. Yeah. So
you've been very upset about
so
it.
So weather was on Tuesday. Sports report was yesterday. Today, this is the big bonanza.
The big one.
This is
you're
reading,
still very much in the game, Tim.
This is reading the news. It can go as bad as what I did yesterday, Jess, for you. You got to remember.
It can. Yeah.
There's still time for you, Tim.
What are you going to be scoring us on and grading us on for reading the news?
Well, I mean, it's all pretty much the same, isn't it?
Accuracy.
Accuracy. I've written the scripts here this time. It's important to note.
Okay.
Yesterday, you guys wrote the sport.
Yeah.
So if there's any
issues, a whole news team here at K-Rock. So sometimes when you read the news, it's written by someone else.
It's written by the guys in the morning, AJ and Beck. And, so, you know, it can be a bit tough sometimes just wrapping your head around something that someone else has written. So
I'm worried about pronunciation of things.
Yeah. That's the big thing today.
Yeah.
All right. Who's going first?
I'll go Jess first.
Okay. All right.
You were first yesterday.
Right.
It's only fair.
I've got it all set up like it's going to sound like the actual news.
Here we go.
Again. All right,
Will
Jess.
Will just handed me a script.
K-Rock News. Rollaway Skate Centre. Great family fun. Book your birthday party now. Rollaway.com.au.
Treasurer Tim Pallas is talking tough when it comes to Melbourne Airport. The stoush between the government and Tullamarine over an airport rail link back in the spotlight after the budget revealed the $10 billion project will be delayed by at least 4 years. The Werribee MP says government support could now go to Avalon instead and could be ready in 2 years.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
I mean, I had a second story there. I didn't make that clear.
Oh, are you meant to keep going?
Am I meant to keep going? I thought we were doing one story.
No, well, we'll make it that way. You do the second
story. Okay, I'll do the second story.
Should I critique first?
Absolutely, let her know.
Where was your intro?
What do you mean?
Hey, it's Jess in the news.
Oh, well, it didn't say it on the script, did it?
All right, Ron Burgundy. All right.
I got penalised for introducing myself for the weather on Monday.
That's the weather.
You have made one slight mistake and the wheels are falling off the wagon. I have been in tatters since day one. I feel like you've made the most noise.
All right, well, try and not put us to sleep with this one, Tim.
All right, here we go. I've decided that I just have to commit as much as I can because I need a Hail Mary to come back from this. Okay, so here we go.
K-Rock News. 40 weeks. Blackout sale on now.
Hi, it's Tim in the newsroom. Treasurer Tim Pallas is talking through when it comes to Melbourne Airport. The stoush between the government and Tullamarine over an airport and rail link back in the spotlight after the budget revealed the $10 billion project will be delayed by at least 4 years. The Werribee MP says government could now have a loan instead and could be ready in 2 years. I'm just going to keep going because there's another story and I was meant to read the second one and I've just read yours again. Geelong's been named one of the country's best homegrown holiday spots. The list compiled by an Australian found the traditional gateway to the Grand Ocean Road makes a strong case for a stopover with the restaurants and bar scene. Geelong was one of only two Victorian sites to make the list, the other being Ballarat. You're up to date with Tim and Jess on K-Rock.
Are you all right?
I had to try something.
Was that you trying?
That was my news voice. That was my proper news voice.
And well, for the love of God, that
yeah.
was...
I hear
that
it.
Was incredible.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Absolutely outstanding. Hey, you're back.
I'm back in, but you're telling me there's a chance.
In a big way.
Good Lord.
Tomorrow the results. You got to take risks. Thank you. Thank you very much, Will. I'm just doing Will's voice now. It might not sound like Tim, but it actually is.
Oh, my God.
That's classic Australian news.
I really thought you were going to actually give it a go.
I'm trying. All right, Will, tomorrow you'll be coming back in.
No,
live.
Keep up the voice.
Live in the studio.
As Blinky Bill.
And we're going to find out who wins Jess's journalism degree.
Oh, I wonder who it's going to be. Oh, my God.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Tim, you know how much I love love. I love love so much that I'm literally studying at the moment to become a celebrant at the Gordon because I want to, you know, bring people's love stories together, right?
Love is a circle.
Yeah.
And we need to complete those circles. Jess, isn't that right?
That's exactly. Did you read my celebrancy script?
Yep.
That's amazing.
Pretty much. I assume that's how you'll start every single ceremony you do when you become a celebrant.
But there is apparently a new way for people to find love, which I'm all here for.
One of the biggest challenges when you are single is when you're out, how do you know that someone else, when you're around them, is single? It's not like you're wearing a wristband. It's not like you're wearing a funky hat. There's no color shooting out of your phone. It's near impossible. And you don't want to seem like a bit of a goose. Honk, honk. When you go up to someone and you're putting on what you think of the moves. And like,
I'm
sure
it happens to you all the time, Tim. Women just throwing themselves at you
and
left
then,
and right.
Then I go, my wife loves Pokemon too. And then you feel, and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. And they're like, oh, this is weird.
Apparently,
that's tricky, right?
You need to forget dating apps because there is a way that you can signal to other single people in the real world that you're up for a good time.
I don't understand this, and I feel like it's got a lot of... Because I know what you're about to talk
about.
Oh,
have you
seen this? It is a... This is not commonly known. You could really get yourself in some hot water.
Because I feel like I've been putting the signal out without realizing.
Well, we all go to supermarkets,
right?
It's a very popular place. So there's a chance that you could meet someone, the love of your life.
Apparently, the signal at the supermarket to tell other shoppers that you're up for a good time, come and have a chat with me, is to get a bunch of bananas, put them in the trolley facing up, right?
So curvature down.
Yes.
Yeah, curvature down.
Like a smile, right?
Yeah, like a smile.
Bananas in the cart. If you're not single, if you're taken, and you still want to buy bananas,
right?
That's fine. Just put them sideways or upside down.
I personally could just be me.
Yeah.
When I go to Armstrong Creek Woolies, I'm throwing the nannies in. There is,
sure.
I'm not thinking of what direction those nannies are in. Are they in the trolley? Are they in the basket? Yes. Are they getting smushed? No. Walk on with my day.
I'm often looking for love in Cariah Village.
I tell you what, you'll find it. You don't need bananas to find love in Cariah.
But you just never know where you're going to find the love of your life. And maybe if people start around Geelong and the Surf Coast, if you're single and you start putting your nannies in your trolley,
face
facing up, We might start a love story.
5223295. Have you been hit on in the supermarket? I would love to hear from you. Was it because of bananas? Or I know we have, when we've put it out to our foot soldiers across Geelong Surf Coast and the Bellarine, we've always been well rewarded. Are you willing to go, if you're on your way to the supermarket after
and
work
single.
Today and
yeah.
you're single, can you trial? Just go, chuck some nannies in there, curvature down, facing upwards, walk around. Don't like stay there any longer than what you normally would. Just let us know. Did someone get in touch with you and
imagine,
say,
imagine, you know, you've got a trolley when you put your bananas in there. Someone else has their trolley with their bananas.
Yeah.
You know, your hands touch, reaching for the milk with the longest expiry.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful love story.
Yeah, and they come up and she goes, I'll take your banana out of his pajamas.
Oh, Timothy.
B1 wants to meet B2.
Oh, yuck. You've made it weird.
What's in the square window?
That's
a different show.
That's
but,
placeable.
You know.
This is Tim and Jess. You are about to enter the K-Rock courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important. The rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Court is in session. The way this works, if Jess and I disagree on something or we get some emails or messages sent in at K-Rock Geelong, we will have an argument. The first person to call through on 5223295, they get to be the judge. Whatever they say, it becomes law across Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine.
Yes. And Tim, today you found just the most doozy of a story. I can't believe that you think that this is okay.
I think it's so funny that if it was okay, I'd like to be in a world where this is something that can happen.
You're the worst.
There is a story going around at the moment that is really dividing people. This this lady has learned that her ex-boyfriend has recently had a child. And obviously, like, yeah, it didn't work for us. I guess I'm glad it's working for you. I
wish nothing but the best for all of my exes.
That's definitely the truth. I'm doing me, you're doing you. That's great that you've got a little daughter. This is fantastic. Hang on. Did you name your daughter after me?
Oh, God!
Her ex named his daughter the same name as her.
Yeah.
Naming it after her.
Now, you just had a son.
Yep.
Did you have this conversation with your wife?
I didn't think about calling him Amanda, no.
No, no. I mean, did your wife suggest any of her exes' names?
It's funny you actually mentioned that. I suggested a few names that I liked and there was maybe one or two where she was like, oh, no.
No, can't have that.
And I was like, that's a good name. She's like, it's a great name. Don't get me wrong. 2017 to 2019 it was a name that I loved. And you go, okay, all right, that's...
You loved someone before me?
And then, yeah, I cried and cried and cried.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it would be, like, if it's hypothetically, like, say, like, I'm in my 30s now. Say it's, like, a partner from 15 years ago when I was in high school and I have a little girl and I go, maybe I do want to call her Catherine.
No, absolutely not.
Catherine's a great name.
What you're asking is, and on 5223295, you call up, you be the judge. Can you name your baby after your ex?
It's not after them. It's just the same name.
Tim.
It's funny.
There is no way.
Because whenever you look at little, I don't know, who was that guy that you used to see? There's
Which
so many
one?
Of them.
How dare you?
We said the same thing. Greg. Let's go Greg.
There's no Greg.
Gregory?
There was never a Gregory.
George.
Oh,
George,
yeah. I did date a George.
So you're telling me you and your husband have a little boy. George is off the table.
George is definitely off the table.
Such a good
so
name.
So is Dylan.
Oh, stop bringing up Dylan.
So it's 20, Dave.
20 years ago, mate. 5223295. Give us a call. Can you name your child after one of you or your partner's exes? Caleb from Thompson. Controversial Caleb is what we probably start to come to know him as. Good afternoon, Your Honour.
Good afternoon, guys.
Now, Caleb, I know you're in a relationship because a couple of weeks ago you called and you were talking about your partner. Now, have you had other relationships before the one you're in right now?
Certainly have.
Yeah, okay, calm down, ladies, man.
And any kids, Caleb?
No.
No, not yet. Okay.
All right,
no,
so there's room for suggestions.
How are you feeling about this?
Well, I don't. I reckon we should. You should have gotten Tim's partner in on this one.
That's true.
And
that's,
ask the question.
Tim hasn't had a lot of girlfriends, Caleb. So
it's pretty easy on her front.
Not a lot of names.
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't think it's. I'm with Jess. I don't think it. You shouldn't do it.
But
even if it is,
but you got
to. You thought that it is your partner. Caleb.
This is such a compelling thing that it's news. Like, it wouldn't be news if it was just like, yeah, we just named her Sapphire. This is groundbreaking. It's allowing us to go to that other place, the Forbidden Forest, and figure out what fruits we can eat.
I might be a little bit brutal here, Tim, but I think small things amuse small minds.
Oh! Caleb, get him! Get him, Caleb!
Sorry.
Caleb, all I'll say is hurt people hurt people.
Yeah. I do agree with you on certain things, but this I don't at all. Not at all.
Bang that gavel, Tim.
I was going to ask what your official stance is, but I feel like it's conveyed pretty clearly, Caleb.
You cannot name your child after your ex.
All right.
You can't
well,
do it.
Caleb, I guess that rules out a few for you by the sounds of it. If you're saying that you've had plenty of ex-partners before, there's not any names left. All right. Well, I guess poo-poo to fun, happiness away, everyone back to their normal cookie-cutter lives where you just name kids River and finances. And all those things.
Finances.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. Tim and Jess, the podcast. Tim, you know how I have a habit of asking questions in a way that sounds like I know the answer and then I don't know the answer?
Yeah, it's very confusing to speak to you. And being on a radio show with you, I just can't stress enough how frustrating that can be at sometimes. You'll be like, do you know how many potatoes are eaten at McDonald's every single year? And I go, oh, I don't. What is it? Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just asking.
I'm so curious.
So me and my husband last night were eating a drumstick on the couch, as you do.
Like a, sorry, can I just, and I hate to specify, chicken or ice cream?
Ice cream.
Okay.
Thank you for specifying.
Could be anything.
And I got to the end of my drumstick, and my favourite part of the drumstick is the little chocolate tip at the
end.
Oh,
really? That's my least favourite part.
Really?
There's no ice cream there anymore. That's the whole reason I got the thing. If I wanted chocolate, I would have bought a chocolate bar.
That's fair. It's my favourite part because you get to the end and there's like an extra little treat, you know? It's not just an empty cone.
It's not an extra treat. It's expected.
Well, I said to my husband, oh, do you know who invented the chocolate tip at the end of the ice cream?
You've done it again.
And he said, who? And I said, I don't know, I'm asking you.
It's the tone, mate. Because even just now, I thought, who did it? Who did it?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Here we go. Sluice on the loose.
I looked at it, into it this morning and I did a bit of research.
Because for me, before you get into it, like I'm assuming I'm speaking on behalf of everyone listening right now. Is that an invention or is that just something that happened when they were making ice cream?
No, it was an invention. But to explain why that was invented, we have to go all the way back, Tim. All the way back to the year 1904 at the World's Fair in America.
The World's Fair.
The World's Fair. An ice cream maker ran out of bowls and he asked a nearby waffle vendor to roll waffles into cones, turning them into a finger food. So essentially inventing the ice cream cone, right? Then we go to 1928, where the Parker brothers in America took the invention of the waffle cone and they worked with Ohio State University to kind of market this product so they could distribute it, right? Because they kept putting ice cream in these cones, but they found that the cones kept getting soggy every time they tried to actually distribute it.
Okay.
Right?
Not ideal.
So Ohio State University came up with the idea of coating the inside of the waffle cone with chocolate.
Essentially a sealant.
Yes, to stop the waffle from getting soggy. It worked a dream.
You don't want a soggy waffle.
You don't want a soggy waffle at all. Then I want you to fast forward to 1963 in Australia.
Big jump.
Yeah. It took them like 35 years to get the drumstick from America to Australian shores. But Australia, we took it one step further.
Was this with Peters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So essentially, they were finding that even though the waffle cone had chocolate on the inside, it was still leaking out the tip. You don't want a leaky tip, Tim.
The only thing I could think worse is having a soggy waffle.
You definitely don't want a soggy waffle or a leaky tip.
No.
And so some genius in Australia.
Maybe the Peter from Peters.
in a Peter's factory in Queensland, as a way to solve the problem of the leaky ice cream cones, decided to add an extra blob of chocolate at the bottom of the cone. And this solved everything.
Yeah, a plug. Chocky plug.
So the bottom of that cone
yeah.
that I love so much was invented at the Peter's factory in Queensland.
Right.
And in 2020, apparently Peter's doubled down on this invention and they released the Mega Tip, which had twice as much chocolate.
So now when you use the complete wrong tone to say, do you know who invented the chocolate tip at the end of an ice cream cone? No, you actually do know the answer. If you could like make that way shorter, I'm sure it would be a fun fact, because that was just a fact. It was a fact that was presented in a fun way.
Okay, you ask me.
All right. Jess, who, I don't know if I care anymore, actually. I've learned so much about it.
Some bloke in the Peter's factory.
Yeah, Peter, from Peter's. Mm. There you go.
You're welcome.
It's the question we've all been waiting to have answered, so thank you very much.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.